5 years ago, when my wife and I moved here, and we came from a church that was our church home, and it used to be called the City Church, and now it's called Church Home. And we partnered with and dedicated our life to the ministry of Pastors Wendell and Jenny Smith, who pioneered and started a church in a city like ours. They had gone to a place that they didn't know anybody, and they began to believe what God could do. And it was because of their incredible faith, my wife and I got to watch miracle after miracle. We began to see God give them buildings. We began to see God do incredible things that seemed impossible. And we watched a community be built, not in a day, but over a period of time. We got to see what it looks like to have an amazing church. And because of that, my wife and I were able to, with confidence, go, Lord, you're calling us to a city that we don't know anybody, to a group of people that don't care whether we've showed up, whether we're here or not. We're going to start a church that nobody's heard the name, and frankly, they all think it's weird anyways. So it's all right. And because of their faith and their generosity, we were able to step into this city with confidence. And so I couldn't think of anybody better to come and share this morning for a little bit this morning with us. And I'm so grateful to have Pastor Jenny, who's here with us today. And we're so grateful for their investment. So would you please stand with me and welcome our pastor, Pastor Jenny, who's here this morning to be with us.
I am so delighted to be here. When Ryan first called, he said, could you please send a video? And I said, absolutely, I will make sure that happens. And so I was in the desert, in Palm Desert, staying there for a period of time because it's warmer there than it is in Seattle. And I called a church, the church that I attend there, and I said, could you do a video for me? I'm on my way over. Could you prepare this for me for their anniversary? And they said, absolutely. So I was on my way, and then Pastor Ryan called back. He goes, better yet, could you just come? And I thought he was asking me to come last weekend. So I go, okay, I can get there in a day. I could do this. Let me figure this out. And then all of a sudden, it was brought to my attention that I was off by a week, and was I relieved. Gave me a little bit more time to plan, but I couldn't think of any place I'd rather be. Honestly, I was thrilled when he asked me to actually come in person. A video's good, but in person's better, because you can hug your necks and just see how you're doing, and it looks good. You're doing great, and happy anniversary, Expression Church. Congratulations to all of you and the effort that you have sown into this church. Look at the fruit of your labor. And I am so proud of you. And I know that Pastors Ryan and Dana are also tremendously proud of you. But I'm also proud of them and for their investment and not giving up and not getting weary in well-doing and continuing to believe. And so I want to commend you. I truly do. And I want you to know, I just sense the Father's approval on this house. I know it's always good when Jesus is happy with what you're doing. You always want to be in a situation where you're pleasing Him. And I want you to know that you are pleasing Him. And His favor, as a result, is on this house. It's not just about a man and a woman, or it's not just about a group of people that are trying harder to do better. But it really is the favor and the blessing of God that's on this house. And that's what you're experiencing week to week. It's not just good sermon, and yet I know Pastor Ryan is great communicator, but it's bigger than that. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's His presence that indwells His people, and then He loves to come in the midst of a gathering like this, a community of believers, and to show Himself strong and to bless you, to do you good. And that's your destiny. That's the inheritance of this house. I just want to encourage you, you are in the right place at the right time. This has been orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, and he absolutely wants to bless you. And I just want to challenge you as a church, if you might let me do that for the next 7 minutes, that God has been doing a wonderful thing, and I want to commend you for work well done. But the reward of work well done is, yeah. So anytime you get promoted because you're a great worker, that's the reason why, because you're so trustworthy. You They can't help but, your employer can't help but promote you to carry, take on more responsibility. Well, I believe there's promotion coming to the house of God. You're being promoted here this morning, and greater influence is going to come as a result of that. And again, it's not just about people doing the right thing or people behaving in the correct manner. It's not just about good preaching. It's not just about good children's, you know, ministry, and yet all that's important, but it's more about the presence of God just abiding amongst his people, and as a result, people's lives being transformed and people's lives being changed and a community of believers being raised up that affects their community and affects their state and who knows the countries of the world that God will use you in. But I want to just, again, if you will allow me to do so, just commend you by the Holy Spirit for work well done, and then just challenge you to more work. Greater influence. I believe that that is the next season for this house. You've been in a foundation building time, and you've laid a good foundation, and now it's time to build the building. How many know no one's really impressed with your foundation? If you're building a foundation, no one comes to visit and look at the hole you dug, or the rebar that you placed in the hole, or the concrete that you might have poured. No one says, yay, look at that concrete. Way to pour it. No one looks at that. No one gets excited. It's a muddy mess, and especially in Seattle or a day like today, this rainy day. And this doesn't happen very often in Texas, does it? I came to Texas for sunshine. And now what am I getting? Rain and straight hair, humidity. But God has entrusted you, and you've built well. You've laid a good foundation, and now it's time to build the superstructure of what he wants to do. And that starts with having influence and opportunity that, again, orchestrated by God. It's appointed for you to step out in faith and to be that influence of righteousness in this community. I'm talking about an influence that is a result of favor and blessing upon your house. You're not going to be noted just for great programs. You're not going to be noted just for great preaching. People are going to take note of you because when they come, they get blessed. When they come, they get happy. The circumstances of their life begin to change. They begin to see God working in the midst of their affairs. That's what you're going to be noted for. That's the kind of influence you're going to have in this community. Come with me to the house of God where you can meet God. He actually hangs out there. And you can experience his blessing. You can experience his presence. And he will minister to you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's present in the place. And I believe it's an influence that's going to go beyond just the immediate. It's an influence that's going to embrace legacy. You are not just a one-generational church. This is not a fly-by-night organization. It's not going to be here today, gone tomorrow. You're building for the future. You're building for your children and your children's children. And as a result of that, this church is going to outlast you. It's going to outlive you. It's going to have impact beyond just the temporary days that you are here on earth. And I know for some of us, it seems like we've been here for a long time. But in reality, it's kind of short in terms of eternity and all that God wants to do. And you're building for the future. You're building for your children, for your children's children. That's why we can't give up. That's why we can't get weary in well-doing. That's why we can't back up, because we have a responsibility to the next generation. We were out last night with Joy and Ryan. Thank you. Why did I forget Ryan's name? And I was mentioning to them, I said, I know having children is wonderful, but let me tell you, you haven't experienced anything until you have grandkids. It's like the best part of life. Like, I waited all this time for this. If I had known it was so good, I would have skipped parenting and got right to grandparenting. But it's a spiritual dynamic also, that God wants us to have that sense of legacy, a sense of eternity, even here on earth in this temporary situation that we are living in. And it's an influence that moves beyond just, the temporary. Let me say it this way. It's an influence that thinks more about the future, is committed more to the future than you are to the past. The past was good, but we can't keep living in the past. We can't keep rehearsing the past. We can't just keep, you know, marveling over the past. There's got to be a future. There's got to be more. He always is planning to do more. He's never done. He's never finished until this world ends. There's always more that God wants to do. And so we have to be not just, you know, mesmerized with the past, but we have to be committed to the future of what God has for us as a church. It's that kind of influence that I'm talking about. It's an influence that reaches outside our comfort zone, outside of our community. Even if we have short arms, we can have a wide reach. And God has given you a wide reach. And His intent is for you to reach out and to be an influence of righteousness for His name's sake. And to use that influence to see people's lives impacted, people transformed, people committed, and become a part of the community of believers, whether in this house or any church that's preaching Jesus and that has that sense of His presence that abides there. This is your calling. This is your destiny. This is the next step. Expression Church, this is the purpose that you come to the kingdom, to be a church of influence, to be a means to touch and minister and bless and help as you, I love your motto, you know, asking people how you can help. This is, I believe, not just a good idea, I think it's a God idea because of the influence that He intends for you to have. I'm telling you, these are the most exciting days to date that you'll ever live in. Days of change and transformation, days of growth, days of abundance, days of resource, days of blessing. That's what you're going to live in as God continues to use you as an influence of righteousness. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for each member of this church. I thank you for their love for you and for the kingdom. I pray, Lord, that they will not back up. They will not get weary in well-doing, that they'll make a determination of heart that I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is my destiny. It's not just Pastor Ryan and Pastor Dana's destiny, but this is my destiny. This is what God has planned and purposed for me, and I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of something that's eternal, something that's going to change whole generations. It's going to have such impact. It could potentially change a community, change a region, change a state, change a country, change countries in the world. Father, we're a part of something that transcends time and space. And we just thank you for including us. And I just pray blessing, strength, anointing, and supernatural provision. I just believe there's going to be open doors that God is going to give you, and they're going to be open doors of opportunity to minister, Pastor Ryan, but not just to minister, you know, in terms of, you know, having, if I come down here, am I going to squeak? Okay. Not literally, I meant the mic, but it's not going to be, you know, that God's going to favor you in terms of opportunities to share the gospel and to teach and preach, etc. But it's going to be bigger than that. God's going to give you an anointing for resources, supernatural resources. He's going to give you an ability to call it in. You're going to have it's a simple faith, and yet it's a faith, a great faith, that enables you to believe for things that others couldn't believe for, or wouldn't even dare to believe for, but you're going to believe. And the miracle of what God has done in this building is just one miracle in a whole parade that you're going to receive the benefit from. It's not going to be hard for you. It's going to be easy. It's never going to be you're never going to be overwhelmed with a financial burden, because God's just going to provide. He's going to open doors. He's going to put people of means in your path. And they're going to open their checkbook, and they're going to, well, no one does checks anymore. They're going to go on PayPal, push pay, and give you the necessary resources. Don't draw back. Don't draw back in terms of communicating the vision, communicating what God has put in your heart. You be one that just openly shares with whoever God puts in your path the good things that God wants to do through you. And you believe and you contend, and as a result, people are going to believe with you. Always more than enough. That's your legacy. More than enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, I told you, church. That's good. And for those of you that were wondering, you know, well, where's Pastor Wendell? Because you may not know the story, but he passed away a number of years ago. And seven, has it been, felt like, yeah, seven. And the beauty is we get to experience what God has done in and through their life. And what's so great about Legacy and Pastor Jenny Lives It is that what we invest in doesn't end just because we're not here. You know, first of all, you're beautiful. And it's a lot for a pastor who started it to come up here and look at your faces. Because on the very first Sunday, we had bought plastic chairs because they were cheap and we could put them in a trailer. And I bought 200 of them. And we went from a little Bible study in our house, meeting once every other week, to, I think we got to start this. I think we need to go to the school. And so we found Grandview Hills down the street. And I told the few that were with us, I said, listen, set up every chair. So they did. They set up all 200 chairs. And I had this expectation in my heart that I don't know how, but if I build it, they will come. And so 200 chairs were there, and I remember, you know, waiting. Then the service started, and there was five. And then about 10 minutes into the service, there was about 15. And by the time I got up to speak, there were 20 people in the room. There was 200 chairs and 20 people sitting up front, and it was the 20 people that helped us set up. But let me tell you something. I saw you. I saw you before you saw this place. I saw you. I saw what God wanted to do in your life. And because I saw it, I was crazy. When everybody else told me, don't do that, it just makes everybody in the room feel awkward. I got more chairs back there. I wanted to set them all up today because I wanted you to know that there are people that we see that aren't here yet. There are people trying to figure out their marriage. There are people trying to figure out their sickness. There's people trying to figure out what tomorrow's going to bring. And we have the answer. And His name is Jesus. And so we are not big enough. This is the smallest we'll ever be. And if you came because you love a small church, I just want to tell you, you're going to be frustrated. Listen, we'll love you. But if it was all about just us gathering together, then we could have done that and gone to heaven. But it was about the people that aren't here yet. And 4 years ago, I set up 200 chairs because I saw you. And now, there's more chairs. God has given us a facility that seats more. But by the way, this is not going to be the first nor the last. Not because I want to build some kind of Oedipus to myself. God forbid. Gross. Yucky. And my wife would fire me. But because there are people who don't know what Pastor Jenny was talking about. Oh, okay. I can see that you're just trying to figure out what this is all about. And there was a group of people in the Bible that God decided to just select. What made them special is nothing in particular. He just chose them because He wanted to show the world what He does with a group of people. And so He chose the Israelites out of just nobody, nothing. It was just Him going, I just want to start with this guy, this crazy guy named Abraham. And so He starts with Abraham and He tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to do something crazy in you. I'm going to influence the world. And how I'm going to do that is I'm going to pair myself. I'm going to connect myself to you. And we're going to show the world what it means when you walk with God. So Abraham was all pumped out of his mind and he left his family and he went to a place he didn't know and he started something that nobody had been around and he had one son. He's like, God, how does it work with just one son? But don't you love Jesus that it doesn't take anything but just one step of faith, and he can start with small, 20 people in a giant room with 200 chairs. I went home and I cried. I said, I left the city church. I did this. My family's moved here. People have come. And just 20, Lord. And he's, yeah, he's like, those 20 are important. The Gradwells who came into our living room for the very first time. The Matthews that were there sitting. The Crosses who were there. Melissa who left her parents in Pasadena to come and start and be our worship leader. And then one by one, you coming over time. So God began to pair himself, and him and Abraham were walking. And over time, the Israelites began to experience God and what he would do. But you know what's interesting? When you stop remembering what God has done, you start kind of panicking where you're at. And over time, as they began to move away from relationship with God into religion, they began to think that it was about the stuff that they did that made the difference rather than the God that they were with. And so over time, it became more important about how we did it than who we're doing it with. And so rather than creating this incredible atmosphere where relationship could flourish, it began to be about more. Sorry, I know that I can't talk sometimes. But it began to be about religion and regulations and how we perform rather than about who we're with and how he wants to love people. And so Jesus shows up on the scene when it becomes the worst of its time. The religious leaders of that day had abandoned their relationship with God and were more concerned about how many steps you take. Sounds like a song. How many steps you take, I'll be watching. No, anyways. It was random. Like, now you know, welcome to my world, right? Rabbit, squirrel. They began to judge people based on their performance and how well they lived according to the rules and regulations rather than encouraging them. Because you see, when you forget, when you stop remembering, You start panicking where you're at, which causes you to find something you can grab a hold of that feels concrete. And religion feels concrete. If I just do A plus B, I'll always get C. How's that working for y'all? I don't know if it's worked for you, but it's never worked for me because A plus B never gives me C. And so Jesus shows up on the scene and begins to mess the whole scene up. Because the religious leaders could not quantify Jesus. They could not fit him into the box that they had established. And so this one moment with Jesus and his followers, he tells his followers, his disciples, he says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. That was the name of the religious leaders of that time. And yeast, for those of you that may have never cooked, P. Terry's, that I guess what people have told me, because I only buy my bread at the store, is that it's this additive that you put into the bread, and it's just a little bit, but it changes the whole batch of dough. And so he begins to talk to his believers about watch out for this, and this is what I love, is the guys begin to look around going, oh, shoot, we forgot the bread. And the other disciples kind of turn to the other guys and they're like, man, I thought it was you, Peter. You were supposed to bring the bread. And then the other guys, Bartholomew, he's looking at the other dude going, man, once again, we're out with Jesus and we've messed it all up. Isn't that kind of like us, right? We get out into this place in our life and we begin to panic because what we see begins to shift. And so we're trying to figure out, is it just about having the right ingredients to make God move on our behalf? If I just say the right prayers, if I just do the right things, then God will then really show up. We feel that in our job. We feel that in our lives. We feel that in our marriage. And I watch people just trying to look for happiness. So it's just, if I just do this with this person, or maybe I don't like that person because I'm not happy with them, I'm going to go over here. And we're shifting things around trying to look for the right combination. And the disciples freak out because they thought it was about bread. And I want to show you Jesus' response, because if we don't remember, we can't see what he wants to do tomorrow. In Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21, this is Jesus' response. You have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears, but you can't hear. Don't you remember? Say that to your partner, your neighbor, the person around you. Don't you remember? Don't you remember anything at all? We had bought a trailer. And it was a giant. It was a 27-foot trailer and 8.5 feet wide. And I had this truck, and it was the only truck that we could use to pull it because it was so heavy. And we filled it full of like all sorts of stuff for our setup and teardown that we did for 3 years. Once we got this building, I wanted to burn it to the ground. I wanted to laugh at it and say, never. But you see, when you remember, it gives you faith for the future. So when a church came in the city and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, and they didn't have the finances or the resources to buy that kind of size trailer that we bought brand new, or fill it full of shelves and stuff that they could use for setup and tear down, because I remembered what it felt like to come into the city and not know what I was doing, we willingly gave it to them. Because when you remember, it gives you greater appreciation for the steps that others take. You see, and somewhere along the way, the Pharisees forgot about that. They forgot about what it felt like to come to God for the very first time. And so Jesus says to them, when I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7. Don't you get it yet? It's not about what you can do. It's about you remembering what I have done. Yes. And when you remember what I have done, it connects you to compassion. It connects you to me and to people. Today is about remembering, but we don't just get together and go, man, look what the Lord has done. Isn't it great? That is awesome, but it eventually connects us to remember that there are people out there that have not yet experienced what we've experienced. And so when strangers come into our midst, we go out of our way because we remember what it felt like. Not becoming like the religious leaders that we just want to make sure that we defend ourselves and our faith. That's what they were doing. It became about defense rather than relationship. Because when you remember, it sets you free. It sets you free so that you can be someone who becomes empathetic. It sets you free so that you're not trying to grab onto things to make something happen. You remember. He's like, did you not remember what I did? Why are you worrying about the bread? Don't make this about doing more. Make this about me and what I want to do through you. Right? So when I think about remembering, and I think about all the stuff that we did in this last 4 years, and what God did in this last year as he took Church of the Hills and incredible people in a 30-year history, and he married it with a bunch of crazies from Expression Church, and we came together and we just turned up the music and we just had a great time. But it never was about just us having a great time and going, look what the Lord has done. No, you know what it really is? It's I remember what it felt like to come to a city when no one cared about me. So when someone walks through the doors of this place, I have great compassion on them. When people move to this city and don't know anybody, I know what that feels like. When my wife and I went to the school the very first time we were here and we didn't have a single person in the city that we knew, and they go, we need you to put emergency contacts down for someone we can contact in the city. And we looked at them, and both she and I began to cry. Because we left everybody that we had ever known. She left her entire family, and now we have nobody. There are people moving into this city that is their experience. And there are a group of people that are in this room right now that can remember what that felt like. And then what God did along the way, how you showed up and you were welcomed and you felt a part. And God began to birth things inside of you. You fell in love with Jesus and you built relationship with strangers who are now your best friends. I remember so that I can see what He wants to do in other people's lives. You see, the Israelites, it wasn't for them just to remember and set up all this stuff as they crossed over places and God did miracles so that they could just remember it for themselves. It was to point to it and go, look, God can do it for you. God can do it for you. God, He did it. How did Abraham get the favor? He did nothing, but God can do it for you because none of us deserve it. That's the difference between religion and relationship. We don't deserve it, but yet He gives it. I end with this, and then I want to show you something. Two verses. First Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, and look what it says. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. He uses the word remember there again. You see, when I remember what God has done, it gives me empathy for people who are freaking idiots. Right? I'm just being honest. Because I'm a freaking idiot. I do dumb things. I cut people off. I slow down on the freeway. I run red lights. Never have done that. I steal people's burritos. Like, come on! And yet God loves me, chose me, wants to work through me. So it gives me empathy when someone walks in the room and doesn't know what they're doing. Do I stand? Do I sit? Do I lift my hands? Am I saying the right words? Have I done everything right? Oh, God! And instead of looking at them going, oh, they don't know. Exactly! You didn't know, and you still don't know. It's just been Jesus and Him smiling at you going, oh, bless your heart. And because of that, we become a community of great compassion, great fervor for people. Because we know, because we remember what the Lord has done. I'm going to show you a video. Well, actually, before I show you the video, I want to read this last bit to you. It's chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Ephesians as Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus. And I just wanted you to get the essence. So what I did is I took some of the verses and I kind of stringed them together so you could see what he was building. And I want you to see it as he talks about remembering and looking forward. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Pause. Remember? Remember what that was like? Waking up in the morning after that night and feeling so empty when you thought that it would fill you up? Remember when it felt like when you thought that your job was going to give you everything and it didn't? Remember that when you got married, you thought that everything was going to be taken care of and it wasn't? Remember? But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. Pause. It's always been and will always be Jesus. So God can point to us, to all future ages, as an example of what it looks like to be an idiot and God to still use you. Sorry, I didn't mean that for you. I'm just talking about myself right now. so that God can point to us as examples of his incredible wealth, of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Pause. Though, this is Paul talking about himself, I am the least deserving of all God's people. He graciously gave me the privilege of telling people who don't know, that's the Gentiles, about the endless treasures. In other words, you can't be bad enough for God not to love you enough. The endless treasures available for them in Christ, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all. Pause. That's the people that make up the church. And so if you came this morning thinking that, man, you got to figure it out, or you had to have it all together, or you just came because someone invited you and you feel awkward, I just want you to know that God so loved the world and he loves you. And it's not about being a part of something that where people are perfect. It's about actually his perfectness in our imperfections, his love in the midst of our brokenness. And he draws us into relationship and sets us into a community where we all go, look what the Lord has done. Then he says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees. For God is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church. Check out this.